Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 will be our text this evening. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You know, as we read this passage of Scripture, we find Jesus telling His disciples and us how to travel through life. Now, you know, literally from the time we are born, we are basically guided some way in direction. As we grow up as children, we depend upon our parents to help us go in the right direction, to make the right decisions, and to move forward in life. We get a little older, they send us to school, and the teachers help us in molding our lives, moving us in the right direction. As we get older, we begin to make decisions on our own, and we begin to move in a direction for a career, and when we start that career, there is going to be people there who is going to help move us in the right direction. So we're always deciding which way to go, whether in the homes, in the schools, in the jobs, even when we're in leisure time. There's probably going to be someone to decide which direction that we need to go in. Now, Jesus is talking about roads here. There is the broad road, and then there is the narrow road. And one is very easy to follow, and the other is very difficult to follow. Now, we can understand that concept, can't we? Of having a nice, smooth road to travel on. And we all like to travel on nice, smooth roads. They're quiet, they're comfortable, they're no potholes, no breaks in the pavement. It's always very comfortable and pleasant to drive down that road. But sometimes roads are not smooth. Sometimes they are not comfortable. And you find yourself having to dodge the holes that are in the pavement or go around the broken pavement to keep from damaging your car. Some roads don't even have pavement. There is a lot of roads back in Alabama and in the very rural areas that we live. In fact, not very far from my granddaddy's farm, there is a road that goes back and you have to cross a creek and there is no bridge. And you literally have to drive your car through that creek to get to the other side. It's also a great place to stop in the middle and wash your car. And I did that many times when I first bought my car. But some roads, like I say, don't even have pavement, and they're rocky, and some roads are dirt-covered, and they're very uncomfortable to drive across. So we can understand the concept of these type of roads. I never will forget this. When we lived in Alabama, we lived on the Elk River, which is a pretty good-sized river, and we lived at the spot where it emptied into the Tennessee River, which is a huge river. And they built a bridge. There was a bridge that crossed the Elk River from our county into the next. And they decided that they were going to build a new bridge. The highway was four-lane highway, but the bridge was a single two-lane bridge. So they built a new bridge so that we could have a four-way bridge crossing the Elk River. And when they built the bridge, you could drive across it. They didn't do a very good job building this bridge. Because when you go across it, where they connected the sections together, you would bounce up and down. And the faster you go, the faster you bounce, and the higher that you bounced in your car. The kids called it the horsey bridge. And when the semi-trucks come across it, they really took a shaking because it really worked on the big semis as they tried to cross that new Elk River bridge. Well, the engineers, they came out there and they done some more work on the bridge and they tried to smooth it out, but they didn't really help it very much. And to this day, if you go from Rogersville, Alabama, over into Limestone County, you better put on your cowboy hat because you are going to have a ride. And it's going to like riding a horse up and down. So that is one of the things that I remember about home, the Horsey Bridge. And it was very difficult at times. And if there was ice and snow on the bridge, you wouldn't even dare try it then. We also had a road that we called the Roller Coaster Road. Now, that thing was a lot of fun, let me tell you, because it would go up and down, and then it would turn from right to left, and it was so fun to drive, especially if you was brave enough to drive it a little fast. And I remember we took Jack and Billy Lewis up there one year to visit, and I rode them down the Roller Coaster Road. And when you come across the top, you can't see the bottom on the other side right at first. And then when you do see the bottom, phew, it does that. I didn't know Jack Lewis's eyes could get that big. He was shocked by that road. But, you know, that's what you get when you live in a little town out in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes the roads aren't that great. So we understand that, don't we? Tonight, oh, by the way, I forgot to turn the slide. That's a picture of my Horsey Bridge. That's the one to the left. And it does. It really bounces. Tonight I want to talk about a road. It is a road that you and I don't want to be on. It is a road that is very dangerous. It is a road that is deadly. It is the road to hell. It is one of the roads that Jesus spoke of in the passage that I just read. It is actually the one with the broad way, the wide gate. And it is so smooth. It is so nice and so even to drive on. And you don't have to miss the potholes. And you don't have to drive around objects in the road, because Satan sees to it that it is a wonderful road for you to travel. But believe me, we don't want that kind of road. So tonight, I want to talk about being on that road. I want to talk about what kind of attitude that a person would have to go down this road. I want to talk about how we can avoid getting on this road, and how we can avoid finding ourselves there, and help us when we are there to get off of it. What's interesting about this road to hell? Well, first of all, we're going to find apathy there. Now, apathy, of course, is indifference. It means I simply don't care. So what? I'm on this road. It's smooth. It's nice. I don't have to dodge things. And it's a pretty good road to travel on. But it's taking you in the wrong direction. But it doesn't seem to bother us because it's easy to travel. You don't care about religious matters when you're on this road, because this road is smooth. And it's very nice. And you begin to make excuses to stay this way. And you don't worry about God, and you don't worry about the church and what it takes to follow His small, tiny, narrow path, because this is so much easier. You know, Jesus tells a parable of this, and we find it in Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 16. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." Another one said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come." So one by one, they began to make excuses to stay away from what was probably the greatest feast that they would have ever enjoyed had they been there. It was just like saying, "I don't want to get on that smooth road. I enjoy this road that I'm on." And of course, the same thing happens today. Through apathy and indifference, we make excuses for not worshiping God as we should. Apathy can also be considered boredom. Those who are bored with the church are apathetic. You know, I never have understood why people think life is boring. I don't know that I've ever had a boring moment in my life. Oh, I guess I have. But you know, life is not a boring thing. You live your life from day to day, life's going to give you its challenges. Life's going to give you your disappointments. Life's going to give you your rewards. It comes at random times, random days, and it makes, as my daddy used to call it, the spice of life. So many people are bored with the church. Jesus mentions people like this in Matthew 15 and verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. My friends, apathy toward God, apathy toward the church, apathy toward the Word of God, it will put you on that road to hell. And it may seem wonderful to you at the time. It may seem so smooth and so nice, but believe me, it's going in the wrong direction. Another thing we find on the road to hell is selfishness. Selfishness can also be termed self-centeredness. You know what self-centeredness is? It means that you think of no one but yourself. And it doesn't matter what anybody says or thinks. I've got to have it my way. Self-centeredness means that you're going to think about what you want and not what God wants for you. Self-centeredness brings a man to worship the way he thinks he ought to worship instead of the way God thinks he ought to worship. Now we have an example of this in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses had delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, let us make gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." In this very short period of time, they forgot that God had freed them from Egyptian bondage. They forgot that Moses had led them to virtual freedom. And now that he's been gone just a short period of time, they're wanting to turn away from the God that delivered them, from the man that helped lead them, and turn to idols. And that's exactly what they did. Immediately they left their thoughts of God and thought about themselves. Another word for selfishness could also be greediness. We can be greedy with our time. We can be greedy with our money. We can be greedy with our love. And we can say, "I've just got to have it all to myself. I want everything for me." You know, John wrote about people like this, or one person in particular, in 3 John chapter 1, verse 9. Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them and does not receive us. He didn't want anything to do with Christianity because Christianity was a religion that thought of everyone. It thought of other people. You were supposed to put other people before you put yourself. He didn't want any part of that. He was so self-centered. He was so selfish in his life that he did not want to share his fortune, his love, his ideas with other people. He wanted it all for himself. You see, my friend, selfishness toward God and selfishness toward the church and selfishness toward God's Word will also put you on this horrible, smooth road, the road to hell. And then we find that traditions will be found on the road to hell. Religious traditions are absolutely opposite of God's Scripture. You know, and we studied about this morning in the morning lesson, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 3, Jesus challenges the scribes and the Pharisees about their traditions. And he said, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition?" For you see, people who are on this nice, sweet, smooth road, again, they're going to find ways to stay on this nice, smooth road. And they've got to make something else, all the other roads, the one road that leads to God, look bad and contradict God And that brings forth, of course, sin. Contradiction brings sin. And sin separates man from God, because it is changing what God has given to us. Jesus said, you need to be on that narrow road. You need to walk down that narrow path, because that is the only way that you're going to find God. Now we're finding excuses to stay away from that little narrow road. These are only but three things that we find on this road to hell. There are so many more that I could talk about. But I want to tell you, in closing this lesson, these things that puts us on the wrong road can be avoided. The road to hell can be avoided. If we will understand that as we go through this life as children of God, sometimes we may find potholes. Sometimes we may find breaks in the pavement. Sometimes we may find a dirt road. But that's the road we need to follow, because Jesus has said, this is the way to God. We are to follow Jesus, who will lead us down that road, as pitiful as that little road is, and will help take us to heaven. So today, my friend, if you are not a Christian, I'm afraid that you're headed down this horrible, smooth, sweet road. But you can change that by giving your life to Jesus. If you are a Christian and you've gotten off of this dirty little narrow road, believe me, you need back on it. And let Jesus lead you to heaven. And if as a Christian you've left God, we want to give you an opportunity to come back to God so that you can travel down the correct road once again. Not the road to hell, but the road to heaven. Tonight, if you're subject to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.